You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep. Everybody needs a
place to call their home. Oh, I have sizzle. Everybody needs someone to call their own. Even when you're lonely, no, you're not alone. You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one of us.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
What is going on, Pack Nation? Welcome back to the off-season finale show of The Sweep. We got a ton to talk about today as we wrap up what has been an uncharacteristically eventful off-season for the Tedster. We've got signings, releases, extensions, etc. This is just chaos, guys. But before we get into all that goodness, let's say hey to some of our sponsors, Pride and Glory Clothing Company, The Ground Round in Nina, and the Go Pack Go Facebook group. Let's just say, without these three, we'd pretty much be on the practice squad somewhere far, far, far away. So thank you guys for sticking around. Thank you for some of the groups. Pride and Glory has been with us, I think, for what, 2-3 years now? Same with Ground Round. Just awesome. We really appreciate it. We truly, truly love it. It's fun to work with you guys. And you know what? Without this guy, my co-host, I am sure I'd be off in some random corner blubbering Packer stats as usual. So let's welcome in my co-host, Mr. Blaine Hornes. How are you doing, my man?
I'm pretty good, Fred. Long time no talk, but getting excited here because it's our kickoff show, and that means at least 16 straight weeks of you and I getting to spend some time rocking the mic and spitting our what we call knowledge. Some of the listeners might not agree with this all the time, but it should be a fun year. I think the Packers have a pretty damn good squad with all the changes they've made. Should be fun. I'm excited.
Yes, definitely. I'm excited. You know, it was a good off season. I enjoyed the time off. Lots of fun stuff with the family. You had a big off season as well, having your son born. It just, you know what? We enjoyed it. School's back in session. The leaves are changing and football's back. And that means that I, for one, and I'm sure I speak well for you on this, the happiness level in my life just raises dramatically once football season starts. I can't wait. Like you said, I think it's going to be a big year. I think this is a huge year for the Packers. A lot of good things happening. Ted, Mr. Ted Thompson, folks, went out and basically did the things that Ted doesn't do. So I don't know if Ted's drinking some other Kool-Aid or if maybe there's some other people pulling some strings, but Ted goes against his normal route of kind of keeping a young, futuristic, if you will, team and brings in some veteran leadership, some just veteran guys in general, and keeps kind of an older roster, which is something that we're not used to. A very young roster still, because we've always been young, but kind of trades out some young guys and brings in some old guys. Two huge signings, huge to us because every signing in Green Bay is huge, just because they're so rare. But Ahmad Brooks and Quentin Dial both coming over from San Fran. What do you think about these two guys? I mean, they're signings in Green Bay. Ted Thompson pulled the trigger.
I think these are exactly what needed to happen. It would have been nice. I mean, obviously, the Dial situation couldn't have happened any earlier, but it would have been nice to have some of this stuff done earlier in camp, just to be able to see these guys before a real game action. But you know what? They're professionals. It's not like they're rookies. It's not like they don't have any experience in the game. They ran a 3-4 defense before. I believe a lot of the press conferences I've seen, Ahmad Brooks seems to be pretty comfortable within the system. He's just got to get the terminology down, which is a little bit different. So it's not like they're doing a whole bunch of stuff that they've never done before. And you know what? I think they should be both pretty damn good fits for what we do here in Green Bay. And it sounds like McCarthy's excited about it. Not that he would say anything different, even if he wasn't, but no, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they get after Russell Wilson this week. And, you know, I'm going to kind of hold off a complete judgment of him because I want to see him play in Green Bay, and I want to see what they look like in green. But yeah, you expect good things.
Yeah, I'm excited about him. I think, you know, initially we had the Brooks signing, which I think everyone was a little excited about just because of the lack of depth that we've had at that position at outside linebacker. You know, he's had some off the field issues, but he's also had 6 sacks in 6 seasons. So there's that fine line that we draw, but he's a 12 year player. He's a little older, but he's smart. He understands the game. I think he'll bring, you know, just again, depth, a little bit more veteran presence, and just allow that outside linebacking core to kind of flourish a little bit more.
It gives him that rotational guy. I mean, who was going to be the rotational guy before he got here? Nobody knew. I mean, there really wasn't that one guy that you could say for sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is having someone to keep the legs of Perry and Matthews somewhat fresh.
Well, and when Matthews or Perry, they're both probably going to miss a game or two at least. I mean, that's what they do. As unfortunate as that is, it happens every year. One of the two or both miss some time, and I mean it's still a pretty thin position. Considering that Elliott's gone and Fackrell's gone, and you know, you don't really know what you got after these three, but at least it's three now instead of two. So
that is true. You said Fackrell's gone. Yeah, Fackrell did not go anywhere, did he?
I'm pretty sure he's not on the 53. Oh, yeah, he is. My bad.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
You know that's my guy. Don't do that to me. He scared me. That guy, something just happened I didn't know about.
Well, with Ted getting rid of all these draft picks, you know, you start getting confused and hoping and praying that Fred's guys are gone and your guys are here. I'm just kidding. Yes, no, yes. I still think that hopefully he has his year and has a breakout. I mean, that'd be awesome.
Someone's got to step up just because, you know, between Brooks, Perry, and Matthews, there's not a whole lot of youth there. Even if it is, you know, Perry with a little bit of youth, he's still hurt all the time.
And what do you think the possibility is that Matthews is not in green and gold next year? 50-50?
I would say probably higher than that, just because I think that it's one of those, you just got to move on. I mean, honestly, I know it seems kind of crazy, but it wouldn't even bum me out to see them make a splash trade with him during the season.
But what can you get? What can you get for him?
I don't know. Maybe
a fourth rounder?
That, or maybe even you do a positional switch. I mean, what about a Matthews for a guard? I mean, I know it's not ever going to be something that people are never going to be super pumped about it, because you're talking about trading a Clay Matthews for a guard, potentially a backup guard, Yippee Skippy. But, you know, it might be the smartest thing. You get rid of that huge cap hit and you maybe get a depth guard and then a fifth pick next year. It wouldn't be the most exciting and it would seem dumb at the time, but it might be the smartest decision we can make, just because his production has just continued to dwindle while his salary continues to rise. And that just doesn't, you don't have to be a math major to figure out that that's not the right formula.
The best thing about having a couple of these free agents signed is I think it makes him such a more flexible player that he can play in the middle more. He can be be lining up on the line in the middle more without his hand in the dirt. I think that's what he needs to be moved around. He can't just line up on the left side of the line and blitz every play. He needs to be the guy that's coming from different spots. And I think we saw that in flashes that when he was playing some middle linebacker, that he was all over the place and he was actually a pretty damn good middle linebacker. And I think the versatility of that is going to show out again this year, and people are going to see what he's still capable of and wonder. And that's why I ask about next year, because I honestly like Clay Matthews. I have been behind him since day one. I'll stay behind him. I hope he stays here his whole career. Obviously, I don't think that that's going to happen. But if I could choose, I would want him here. But I honestly think that his time on the edge is dwindling, and they should consider a position change for him permanently, whether he wants it or not. Because I honestly think that he's too versatile of a player to do the same thing every play. And he can do so much when he's in the middle of the defense instead of just hanging out on the edge. So what I'm hoping is that Brooks and him and Perry are on the field sometimes at the same time, because I think that could be a pretty good three-man wrecking crew there.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that at all. And you're right on about Clay. I mean, he is versatile, and I think that, yeah, you get to a point at some point in your career where you have to kind of consider the fact that, hey, maybe I'm not benefiting this team as much as I should be by being on the outside. You know, it's a game where you need such speed and boldness on the outside, and not that he doesn't have it. I'm not saying he's done for. I think maybe his step isn't as good as it was. But I think if you can keep him inside, then move him outside, bring him around, do this and this and that, I think that will benefit him and it will benefit the team better. I think that's your best move.
Right. And this might sound weird, but he's kind of an undersized outside linebacker / edge rusher. I mean, he's really not that big. No. He's not like...
And you can see it sometimes in games. Some games I've seen him just get murdered by tackles because
he's not 6'7", 6'7", 270 like Julius Peppers. Those are the guys, the long, big guys like that, that can make a career out of an edge. But Clay's not that. I mean, he was really good as a young player at his size because he had the motor and he had the drive and he had the speed. And now that he's 9 years into his career, I mean, you'd start to lose that stuff. Now, you can't make up for that with a 6'2 frame.
No.
You know, when you're 6'7 and you're long and you can get that separation and your stride makes up for your lack of speed when you're aging, I mean, that's the difference between a Clay Matthews and a Julius Peppers. I mean, it's just, I think it's time that Clay realizes and the Packers realize that, you know, he's still a really good versatile player and can make plays for the Green Bay defense, but it might not be on the edge every play. He's going to have to move around a lot more.
Yeah, and that's where the other signing of Quentin Dial comes in, because he is 6'6",
yep,
and over 300 pounds, and so he fits in perfectly. He'll probably play that end position on the 3-4, but he's also big enough he can play any spot on the D-line, but I think he'll kind of sit on that spot. He's still got, you know, he's 27, fifth season. I mean, he's right there in that prime. That's why I think more than the Brooks, this Dial signing excites me a little bit more. I think just his upside and what you just talked about with needing someone of a little bit more height, he kind of basically assumes the Peppers role. I mean, he's not Julius Peppers. Julius Peppers is a Hall of Fame type guy. But that size will be huge, and yep, you know, no, all pun intended, I guess. I'm excited about him. I think together those two signings now aren't the most sexiest, splashiest DeSean Jackson type pickups, but they fit exactly what we need and what we were lacking heading into the season. Mm-hmm. And I think that they both will be able to transition quickly into it. And I'm super excited to see him. And I think also not only just the full season, but if you want to just focus on this upcoming week, you're talking about two guys that played twice per year against arguably our biggest rival. And whether or not you think that's important, it is. Because they have a little bit of knowledge on it, and they have a little bit of expert, you know, thoughts when it comes to playing Seattle. And that's huge. Sometimes you need a little bit of a heads up on, or a leg up, if you will, on your opponent, and they will offer it.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the familiarity and some of the tendencies, maybe not the offense as a whole, but certain players within that offense. Like, I mean, defensive linemen, they can get a read on a quarterback's cadence if you play with them long enough. Stuff like little things like that, little triggers that some of the offensive linemen or a back in the backfield might line up a certain way when it's a certain play or a certain type of scheme, a run play or a pass play. They might have a different set. I mean, those are the types of things that we don't see them because we're watching on a TV. But when you're face to face in the dirt, as far as in the trenches with the line, defensive and offensive linemen, you start to notice and pick up on things like that. So, I mean, that those are the types of things I would say that are going to be beneficial for these guys, just having that familiarity and some of the tendencies of the team and the individuals on that team, maybe not the scheme so much, because obviously everybody can plan for scheme. McCarthy's been planning for Seattle from what he talks about for the last 6 months. So if they don't have their scheme down, they have an issue. But some of those little tendencies that players can pick up on during the game on the field, these guys might have those already instead of not being able to figure it out until, you know, like the third or fourth quarter. So that definitely shouldn't hurt.
No. And before we get into the other moves of recent, let's quick talk about something that we've been planning now for a little while. Tonight, we will be at one of our sponsors, the Ground Round Nina, to offer basically the pregame to the pregame, the show before the show, a little get-together. If you're a Packer fan, come on down. We'll have some of the games from last year on. We have a silent auction with some really great items, football, jerseys, pictures, posters, all different stuff from different eras of Green Bay Packer football available for your signing or for your wants if you need them. But you come down, hang out, spend some time, talk football, check out the live auction, get a drink, order some food, and then all the proceeds from that hour or two that are at the Ground Round will go towards this show to help us continue to promote our show and to kind of keep building our stance in the community and hopefully solidify ourselves as the number one Packers podcast in the Fox Valley area. So if you get a chance, come down tonight to the Ground Round Nina. 6 p.m. is the start. Just for a couple hours, hang out, get ready for football season. You know, like I said, it's the pregame to the pregame. Get a little of your blood flowing tonight. Get ready for waking up tomorrow to the goodness of what will be game day. You know, I'm excited for it tonight. I know you're excited for it tonight. And we couldn't be more thankful to the Ground Round for letting us host it there. They've been great to us. And, you know, it's a new month. It's a game time. It's the month of football. It's the start of football. I know I'm excited. You're excited. And I know Ryan Batley from the Ground Round is excited. Let's take a listen.
Hey, all. It's Ryan from the Ground Round in Nina. Hello, September. Hello, fall weather. And hello, football season. I'm here to tell you that when it comes to game days, Ground Round is the place to be. We have 21 TVs, so no matter where you are sitting, you'll have a perfect view of the game and won't miss any of the action. And for you fantasy football fans out there, 21 TVs means you can keep up on all the scores and highlights from around the NFL. In addition to the great seating in the sports lounge, we have food and drink specials like $8 pitchers of Lineys beer, half-price bar bites, free Packer touchdown shots, happy hour 7 days a week, and the famous Ground Round Cheesehead Flake Hat. That means one lucky person will drink free each time the Packers opponent is penalized. Win or lose, you're going to go home happy as we raffle away gift certificates and other prizes on our Spin to Win wheel during game breaks, and that includes Packer jerseys. New this year, game day meat raffles. If your favorite spot to watch the game is on your recliner, we can still help you out and provide you with that bar food you crave. We deliver our full menu 7 days a week with everything from soup to salad to wings and burgers. If your favorite spot to watch the game is Lambeau Field, we've got you covered there too. For only $20, you can take Ground Round Tailgate Bus to and from each home game. The bus leaves 3 hours before kickoff and returns promptly after the game. Call us at 725-1010 to reserve a seat today. Thanks for listening, but now let's get back to the sweep.
All right, thanks, Batley. Let's continue. We talked a little bit about the two signings. There were also many other moves, just with the practice squad, waivers, all that goodness. One of the ones that really surprised me, Blaine, happened, I don't know, I think it was on a Tuesday or something. All of a sudden I looked down at my phone and I see that the Packers traded Jayrone Elliott to the Cowboys, which was shocking because I know you specifically, huge Jayrone Elliott fan. I've been a big fan of his for a while. I think I was pretty damn convinced that this was the year that he was going to break out and really get his role.
I still think it is. And you know what? Unfortunately, it's going to be for that puke of a team down in Texas. But it is what it is.
And the thing that surprised me the most about it, and it wasn't a good surprise in any means, was a conditional seventh. I get that it's conditional. I get that there's the idea that it can be more. And with what we both think is going to happen, you know, we will probably obviously get a better than a seventh round pick. But I just, for me, it seemed like we didn't get enough. And we give a team that is a rival our up-and-coming outside linebacker.
Here's the only explanation I can come up with.
Please help me with it.
I mean, they don't feel the same way about him that you and I do. I mean, the coaches and or the personnel team, they obviously don't have any faith in him at all, and they were probably going to cut him. So they said, okay, if somebody's interested in him, let's get whatever we can for him. And if he turns out to be great, whatever we get for him is going to be even better. So my feeling on it is that they were planning on letting him go either way. And so they just got what they could for him. And if it turns out to be more than a seventh, awesome. If it turns out to be nothing, I mean, that's what they would have got if they would have cut him. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't know that they were going to give him much more time anyways. I mean, they have a couple of younger guys that they might be trying to house. I mean, it is what it is. And it's unfortunate for guys like you and I who were hoping and wishing and praying that he was going to have his breakout year, because, you know, I follow him on Twitter and he was one of the fun guys to follow. He had some fun stuff and he was kind of out there in the community, and I was hoping for him, let's say that, and I'm still gunning for him. I think he can still be a good player, and hopefully he is, because that's a better draft pick we get.
Yeah, it's one of those weird conundrums where you're upset he's gone and you almost don't want him to do good, because, you know, it's like watching your ex-girlfriend date a guy that's way better than you. But in the same breath, we do want him to do good because that means better for us. So, I mean, I wish him all the best, and he was great, and he was a great Packer. He really exemplified everything that we're about. So, so best of luck to J-Ro and Jelly Elliott. And then the other move was claiming edge rusher Chris Odom off of waivers from the Falcons. Don't know a ton about the guy. I know he's a rookie. He had a real good game in the preseason against Jacksonville, which was the final game they had. He had 8 tackles, 6 solo, a sack, and a quarterback hit, and a tipped pass to the line of scrimmage that ended up becoming an interception. So that right there is pretty exciting. I haven't done as much research on him as I probably should have. But what I have saw is that he's just a bull rushing kind of guy. So it's a position we need. It's a position of depth, and I don't hate it.
No, I mean, I think that might have factored in on the J. They had an idea that they were going to claim him when they did the trade with Jaron. I can't remember if this all happened on the same day. I'm pretty sure it did.
I think so.
So, you know, you get rid of Jaron Elliott. He's here, what, 3 or 4 years now? You kind of see what he is. You get rid of him for a draft pick, possibly, and you bring in a new young gun and give him an opportunity. And I think that's kind of been the way the Packers have done things. They normally, I mean, aside from this year, if they draft you, they keep you for a few years anyways to see what you got. And, you know, after your first contract, if you're not worth a pinch of shit, they let you go. I think the tables have turned a little bit according to what happened this year, because there's a lot of draft picks that they released and let go to waivers. Fortunately, we got a few of them back onto the practice squad, but I think that's what this is all about. It's part of the youth movement. They had to bring some young guys in because they can't just sign a bunch of free agents that are already 5 to 10 years into their career, and then in 2 years we don't have anything left to choose from. So, I mean, there is a method behind the madness of letting some of your mid-range aged guys go and bringing in young guys again. So I think this move complements the Jaron Elliott trade, in my opinion.
Well, and you mentioned it, and we'll get into this now. Just the transition of young guys and old guys and the practice squad and the draft picks. You even said it, I think, earlier in the show, and this is something that's blown my mind, is Ted drafts and Ted releases 3 of those draft picks. He releases a 5th, a 6th, and a 7th round pick. Now, luckily, 2 of them come back on a practice squad. The 7th round pick, Malachi Dupree, not Malici.
You sure?
I'm pretty positive.
Okay.
I'm not sure 100%. Well,
that's probably why they let him go, because his name should be Malici, not Malachi.
Yeah. Well, and they probably didn't know, and they probably think that they kept Malici, but Malachi had to go. You know, and that was one I know that we've talked about, and a lot of people were kind of confused about, just because I think everyone was kind of hoping he would come on and be great, considering, you know, he was a top recruit coming out of high school and all that goodness. Not sure what his plans are. I don't think he has signed with anyone, but he did not make the practice squad. The other 2, D'Angelo Yancey and Kofi Michia, offensive lineman, both did get back with the practice squad. You know, it's just I can't quite remember a time that Ted drafted and released 3 of his guys.
Yeah, I don't remember. If I did a little bit of research, I'm sure we could figure it out. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it hasn't happened.
I don't think so.
I know we're talking about a 5th, a 6th, and a 7th round pick. So it's just, we had so much promise in those picks, and that's why I think so many people were excited about them, because usually you don't get that good of talent in those rounds. You know what I mean? Usually you're not excited about your 5th, 6th, and 7th round pick, but we had some excitement with those 2 wide receivers. And then we get to camp, and Max McCaffrey's having a hell of a camp, and Michael Clark had a hell of a preseason. He showed some promise, and he's a big body out of Marshall. So there's definitely some young talent on the practice squad. I think that Derek Matthews at middle linebacker has a future. He'll have his second year of learning. Reggie Gilbert, another second year player who's going to have another year to learn on the practice. I mean, some of these guys I think are going to be important, maybe not major pieces of the puzzle at some point, but they're going to be contributors at some point, I think. And I think that's why it's important to not forget these guys' names, because they will be around at some point, even if it's just special teams. I think that we could see a couple of those guys be on the active roster at some point this season. So it'll be interesting to follow. And again, just to reiterate the draft thing, it's not like Ted to do that. So it, and you kind of mentioned it earlier, it makes you wonder if there is some other people up in that front office making some of these decisions with Ted. Obviously has to be on his way out. You and I went to camp earlier this year, and he just seemed like he was a lost soul out there, or he was a dead man walking. It just, something's going on with him. I don't know what it is, but he's a crazy man.
Well, I personally thought that he looked just fine.
he's so
but then again, but then again, that's just what Ted is, though. Ted is Ted is the strangest man in sports. But you know what? Yeah, I think, you know, anyone who's listened to this show, if you're a first-time listener, then you will find out quickly that, I mean, I'm a huge Ted supporter. I love Ted. I think what he does is fantastic. I know a lot of people don't because he doesn't make splashy moves all the time, but he makes calculated ones. He's a super smart guy, but usually when it comes to being super smart, you got a little bit of weirdness to you. He has definitely got some weirdness to him. But yeah, I think this year, especially with releasing those three guys, I mean, it's almost an admission of fault, that he made maybe a couple bad picks. You know, and not only that too, but it was an extremely, extremely weak undrafted free agent class too. And that's a rarity of his. He's usually pretty darn good at those. He got there a couple
was,
guys.
There was one though, wasn't there, that made it with
undrafted?
Yeah, I remember you and I talked earlier in the season. Earlier in the off season. I can't remember if it was on an episode or it wasn't. But there's never been a year where he hasn't kept at least one undrafted free agent on the active roster after all the cuts. And I thought that I remembered there was one, but now I can't remember who it is.
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, anyways, we'll move on. I'll figure it out. I'll think of it.
But yeah, I think it's just a weird situation that we're not necessarily accustomed to, but I think it is a blatant screaming telling story that it is the wind down of the Ted Thompson era. Which, you know what, I fight for Ted on a regular basis, but I've definitely gotten to a point where I'm very okay with it, and I realize now more than ever that it's time, and we have so many great assets in the front office that will assume the role just fine. So,
I figured it out.
Who is it?
Lindsay Pipkins.
Yes, the Pipkins.
Yeah.
And yeah, he actually from the mothership, our mothership, Pack to the Future, PT or packtothefuture.com, PTTF. Our home base, they actually had Pipkins on. They interviewed him before the season started. So shout out to the guys at PTTF for scoping that one out before anyone else did. I remember actually when they told me that they were having him on there, and I thought that they got duped. I was like, I don't think there's anyone in this world named Lindsay Pipkins. but there is, and he's on the freaking Packers roster. So yeah, shout out to Pipkins, first of all, for making it. Congratulations. And shout out to PTTF for knowing that.
Well, he played at Oklahoma State, so you know, I mean, that's a pretty big time university. And
I'm a man, I'm 40. I watched them last night play actually.
And that is, you know, so he's got to have some promise to him, and he's pretty big, 6 foot, 196. We'll see, you know, I mean, if it goes anywhere close to the way it went last year, he might end up being our starter at some point.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so I think good way to get that research done mid-show. That was well done. Shout out to technology, because
right,
without it, we would not be as smart as we sound. But yeah, so speaking of technology, speaking of I guess you could say even social media, folks, there's no better social media site for the Packers and being a fan of the Packers then on Facebook at the Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold. If you go to Facebook, if you're a member of Facebook, head up to the search button, type in Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold. You can't miss it. Over 30,000 members, you guys. 30,000 members. That could pretty much fill half of Lambeau. That's insane. Members from all over the world, they go to that site, they share stories. It's great. We have our little message from the founder of it, Mr. Jim Cooper.
When's the last time you shouted at the top of your lungs, "Go Pack Go"? Was it today? Was it yesterday? I hope it wasn't all the way back at the NFC Championship. Well, either way, we have a way to scream it every day, and no one will think you're crazy. Well, we welcome crazy. My name is Jim Cooper, and I am the founder of the largest Green Bay Packers fan group on Facebook. With over 30,000 members, this is the place to find it all. From the latest news, to the best fan shares, to knockout giveaways. Go Pack Go, I Bleed Green and Gold is the group for the biggest of Packer fans. Go to Facebook, find the group, get involved, be active, enter for all the giveaways, and always say it loud, say it proud, Go Pack Go.
All right, thanks, Jim. Like I said, guys, make sure you guys go on Facebook, check him out. Otherwise, I think he does have a new site, Go Pack Go, ibleedgreenandgold.com, which might officially be the longest URL in internet history.
But nobody will ever forget it.
But you'll never forget it. You can't forget it. I thought I had a long one with prideandglory63.com. Boom, there you go. Shout out to Pride and Glory. Make sure you guys do go check out Pride and Glory while we're at it. Awesome gear, tons of good stuff. If you need something authentic, something different, something that no one else has for this season, go there. They just brought out a whole new batch of green sweep shirts, everyone's favorite. They did the helmet shirt, which is just fantastic. And I know personally, because I happen to know the guy that runs it, they have many more things lined up for this season. So check out prideandglory63.com. You can see them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They're everywhere because the guy that runs it is awesome. He's handsome. He's smart. Really good guy. And speaking of, yeah, guess you guys can't guess who is running that. But speaking of smart and speaking of handsome and speaking of awesome, we have an official retirement. The hoodie. Mr. James Jones, the hoodie, had announced his official retirement from the NFL. He will be joining the NFL Network, which is awesome. I'm so excited for him on that. James Jones is quite possibly one of the best players on and off the field to come from the Packers. Another great story, very similar to a sense of, in like a Donald Driver. You know, a guy that came from not a whole lot, homeless, you know, made the team and really stood out. Obviously, he got drafted higher than Donald Driver did, but really put his mark on Green Bay and was just such a huge weapon for us throughout his entire career with us. And then, you know, obviously he left, comes back, kind of was a savior for us. Did so much in the kind of for sure. He was.
I mean, statistically, that may or may not have been his best season ever.
Yeah, and we needed
at least touchdowns wise.
And we needed it. He came in and played Superman for us. So, it's just an amazing guy. You know, on and off the field, big time in the community. I can't thank him enough for his contribution to Green Bay and to the Packers. I'm excited to watch him on the NFL Network. You got any good thoughts and memories of James Jones here?
Yeah, I got to meet him one time, and he was awesome. And as a lot of the Packers are, I mean, if they're doing a show, one of the local shows on TV or radios or anything like that, obviously they're probably good dudes. But yeah, I got to talk to him for a few minutes, and he's just real down to earth. genuine, soft spoken, but at the same time has that ability to light up the room with the way he's speaking. So congratulations to him. Awesome career. Like you said, I'm excited as well to see him on the NFL Network. I think, you know, you see him on a couple of shows here and there giving his opinion, and he has that knack to be in that media, on the media stage. So he, like I said, he's well spoken, and congratulations to him. I don't know where he'll stand as far as Packers Hall of Fame stuff goes, but I'm sure he'll get in there at some point.
Yeah, I think without a doubt he's a Packer Hall of Famer. You know what I'm most excited about for him on the NFL Network is his swag. I'm old, so me saying swag is probably not as cool, but he has some of the best swag out there, and I'm excited to see kind of what he puts together for his day-to-day on there, because he knows how to rock it. So, yeah, congratulations to him. Excited for him. Always love seeing, you know, Packer players go out on their own and be able to, you know, continue their love of the game, whether it be on in the booth or on network. So excited for him on that. And then to finish, let's discuss quickly what we got going on tomorrow. Home opener, season opener. First time the Packers have played a home opener in 5 years, which just blows my mind because I feel like there had to have been one in there that we played at home as a season opener, but I guess not. And we played against...
Was the last one the Saints?
Yeah, I think so.
Was that 5 years ago already?
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting old.
Yeah, real old. I remember the Saints game vividly, and I remember where I was. And
well, that was Randall Cobb's rookie year,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, I watched it in Madison at I don't remember, one of the bars there. And I remember that was super excited. Randall Cobb returned that kick to open it off. It just blew my mind. But so anyway, yeah. So we got Seattle coming to town, arguably our biggest rival in the NFC, along with Dallas, Atlanta. Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be, listen, this is the thing about Seattle. I'm going to quick say, I'm not too worried. Seattle's offense does not scare me that much. Their defense, I think, is always been great. They add a couple pieces. They add Sheldon Richardson, which does not help our cause at all. So it's going to be a test for us. But I think that our offense is so stacked heading into the season that even the best of the defenses, it's going to be tough for them to be able to cover as much as we have with Bennett, Montgomery, Nelson, Cobb, Adams. Sorry. So I think every defense is going to struggle. Their offense doesn't scare me as much. But I know, I think it'll be a fun game, and it's hard to usually predict, but I feel pretty confident that the first week of every season, every single season opener, if you're a home team, I give a large edge to. Just because
tell that to the Patriots.
Screw the Patriots. but I think that there's that little bit of extra excitement. And just a quick touch on the Patriots. I posted on the Sweep, the page on Facebook. Again, go up to that little search button, type in the Sweep. We like to post funny stuff on there, good stuff on there, Packer stuff, sometimes not Packer stuff, but always something good. I said that I think the Patriots are done. I think that dynasty is about ready to fizzle out. And I stand by it still. I don't think it's an overreaction. I know Kansas City beat them even a year or two ago, same situation. I just truly think that, you know, it's that time. I think eventually everything gets caught up. Eventually people start to kind of catch up. Not saying that New England is going to be bad. Not saying even that New England's not going to make the playoffs, because New England will make the playoffs. But what I think division their run, they play in? Exactly. I think their run once they get into the playoffs will be highly, highly skeptical. But besides that, I just think that us being home, season opener against Seattle, I think there'll just be so much adrenaline, momentum, and just so much going on that I feel fairly confident that we can win this. These first 2 weeks are so important for us. I hope that we can pull out a win. We can stay out of it injury-free. I'm not too worried about it. Also, I'm excited to see Fat Man Lacey come back. I'm interested to see what type of reaction he gets when he comes through the tunnel.
Has any of that whole situation there with the running backs been sorted out? Who is their starter? Do they have a starter? Who's their main guy? I mean, they have a rookie there that's pretty good. Is it Carson?
Yeah. Or they had Rawls, but I think Rawls got hurt, didn't he?
Well, he's still there. There's Rawls, there's Procise, there's this rookie they drafted, and then there's Eddie Lacy. Yeah. So it just sounds like there's a cluster going on back there. And, you know, not to interrupt you, what were we going to talk about, Eddie? So he had something to say.
Oh, I was just going to say that he talked about how he was questioning whether or not he wanted to do a Lambeau leap if he scored a touchdown. And I was just going to say that I doubt his fat ass could get up there. So
the fans won't let him in anyways.
Well, that too. Yeah.
But yeah, as far as Seattle goes, you know, they're one of the teams in the NFC that you always have to worry about. But the thing about Seattle is over the last, I don't know, I'm going to say 5-6 years, they've historically been a slow starting team. And I think that they like to have a slow start because I think they like to have their back against the wall type deal going on. And it always seems like they're playing their best football towards the end of the season. It seems like they're always like 2-4 at the beginning of the year. And then all of a sudden at the end of the year, they end up, you know, 11-5. It's like, really? How did that happen? But on a serious note, I think the Packers offense, I agree with you, is stacked. I think that they have the potential to be the highest scoring offense in the league this year. And when you have Aaron Rodgers, you give yourself a chance. I mean, no matter what happens here with the defense, no matter what happens here with the offensive line, the receivers, the running backs, if Rodgers is behind center, you have a chance because he's that good. Arguably the best to ever do it. In my opinion, for sure, the best mobile quarterback ever. Throwing on the run is what I mean there. So, you know, it should be a good game, like you said. And that's why I don't worry about him, you know, getting roughed up too much with the defensive line, because he's just too smart. And if he needs to go down and take a sack, usually he goes down before they hit him. So, yeah, obviously I'm going to pick the Packers to win. Do you want me to give you a score?
You read my mind, sir.
I'm going to go 27-20 Packers.
You're such a, this is why it's so weird, but I've been saying for the last 3 days, 27-10 Packers. Okay. So I think our defense kind of shows up a little bit. I think we're going to give everyone a little bit of excitement with our defense. Whether or not it stays the whole time, we'll see. But, yeah, I think it's a pretty solid dominating win. I know it's not a humongous score, but that's still 17-point difference. So it's pretty exciting. I hope it's all that we just said it is. I'm excited for the season to start. I'm excited for Lambeau Field to be lit up tomorrow and not be a night game, but lit up just because people are going to be pumped. I know it's going to be quite the show down there, all that new stuff, the Titletown District, the shows, free concerts. It's going to be a great time. So if you're going, be safe, stay safe. Speaking of staying safe, I want to quick mention that we at the Sweep, our prayers are with those who have endured the hurricane in Houston and are with those in Florida and are going to have to deal with Irma. You know, that's never a tough time. Rebuilding is always tough. Losing, you know, family members can be tough if that's the case. So if you're out there, if you're listening, take a minute, take a prayer, help out, donate if you can. You know, speaking of donation, how about JJ Watt? I mean, what, like, seriously?
I mean,
$200,000 to $20 million.
Yeah, if he does nothing else in his life that contributes to anything, he's done way more than he was ever asked asked or expected to do.
Yeah, there are special human beings, and then there are people like J.J. Watt. His story from even before that is just a remarkable story about how he even made it to an NFL team. And just the way that he uses his platform to better things is just absolutely remarkable. And I love it. And it puts faith back in humanity. And I think he's an incredible person. If you have a son or daughter who likes football, that needs to be their favorite player. I don't care if he's even a Packer. That needs to be their favorite player because he represents what it is to be a great player, to be a good human. And that's awesome. So, but like I said, yeah, hold up your prayers for those people that are being affected by those hurricanes, and donate if you guys get a chance. You know what? A dollar is a dollar, but it can go pretty far if you put them all together. So I know I have family down there. I'm sure everyone knows somebody that has somebody down there. So stay within those prayers. And another shout out to our sponsors. If you're on Facebook, like I said, check out Go Pack Go. Check out Pride and Glory Clothing Company, whether it's on social media or hit them up at prideandglory63.com. And with the Ground Round, like we said, if you guys are out tonight and you guys are getting in the mood for some football, check us out at the Ground Round. We will be there, me and Blaine both, to talk some football, live auction. We will probably maybe do a live Facebook live video, so stay tuned on that. It'll be a good time, just something to get us kind of our juices going before tomorrow starts and the real pregame happens. So we will be back. This is it. This is the start of the season for the next 16 potentially more weeks. We will be here after every single game to discuss what we saw, what we liked, answer your fan questions. We didn't get in any fan questions this week, but I promise you we'll have many more opportunities to hit those up. So follow us on the Sweep. Follow us on Twitter at @TheSweep_PTTF. And send in your questions. We love answering them. We love hearing from you guys. You guys are what make the show. So thank you for listening. Any final thoughts there, Blaine?
No. I guess here's to another great Sweep season. Hopefully the Packers cooperate with us and we don't have any doom and gloom like we did towards the middle of the season last year. You know, I really hope we don't have to go on a 10-game win streak just to make
the playoffs. Last year sucked and was great all in the same breath. And there were times there throughout the season last year that we were like, I don't even want to do a show. Like, I just don't want to do this. And then they turned it around. So, yeah, please let's not go through that again. as fun as it kind of was in a weird way, it sucks.
Stressful, man. I mean, I know we don't have a whole lot of stakes in the actual games and stuff, but I mean, we're Packer fans. We live and we bleed green and gold. I know that's such a cliche, but it there's people out there that have a whole nother level, and I like to assume that you and I are both on it.
Owner. I'm a part owner. So yeah, I do have a whole lot going on there, Blaine.
That's right. So yeah.
My livelihood.
But yeah. Hopefully it goes well. We'll be fine. Hopefully the team does well, and I'm sure they will. They are, like I said earlier, Rodgers behind center gives them a chance to win a Super Bowl every year. So
every year, baby.
Cheers. Have a chance, make it out to the Ground Round tonight, and we can have a few pops and maybe a burger, and you can try to buy some cool autographed items and talk some football with Fred and I and whoever else decides to show up.
For sure. We look forward to a good season. Cheers to another great season of the Sweep, like you said, and see you guys next week. All right, go Pack, go.
Go Pack. You're not alone. You're one of us, one of us, one of us, one.